Welcome to Star Wars, Age of Rebellion. This is an RPG Storytime presentation of a campaign played over several years utilizing all three Star Wars role-playing books by Fantasy Flight Games. This is a grand campaign where everything you hear was decided by players in an epic-scale role-playing and strategy game, then turned into this production that tells the story one chapter at a time with occasional explanations of game mechanics. The episodes are shorter than most gaming podcasts because each session is summarized in the form of a story much like an audiobook. It begins with a small band of agents played by a few role players. As the Rebel cell grows, more players are brought in to take on the roles of other operatives heading out on other missions and taking part in various battles. Every choice affects the direction of the story, both for the characters on the mission and for the overall story arc. And the ultimate fate of the Juvex and Senex sectors is up to them. Haunted by her past, Aelor Sundown left the Rebel base to hunt down the man who had kidnapped and violated her soul. We turn back the clock a little bit to follow her path and learn what has become of her. Aelor had not wanted to take any of the ships from the Rebel base. She knew that they were short on resources, so she returned to the resort where they had originally landed. There she mingled among the wealthy vacationers of the houses, flirting with the men who were trying to show off their wealth and prowess. She found a hunter who was showing off hollows of his many kills, animals he had bravely shot from a couple hundred meters away, but he posed in positions of great threat. He tried to tell more dangerous stories, but she could read his mind well enough to know he wasn't telling the truth. The training the Devoth Oberon had given her had warned against the use of the Force in such a way, but she ignored it in the interest of what she called the greater good, or at least not doing any more harm than someone like this was already doing. Aelor then used the ability for which she was most adept, her skill at convincing others to do as she told them. At least, those who were weak-minded, and this guy was very much in that category. She began by getting him away from the crowd into privacy, where he believed he was going to get a little action. There, she waved her hand and told him that he would be giving her his ship. He did. She was about to leave, but then she stopped and asked, "How much money do you have on you?" "About 500 credit. You will give me your money," she said. This was very much against Davith's teachings, but the man gave her the money, staring at her body as he did. Then she said, "You will give away your gun collection, and you will stop hunting the local animal population." He agreed, and then, after convincing him not to follow her, she left. She sighed when she saw his ship, a gaudy pearl-white vessel with glitter spattered all over it. When she got into space, she found that it sparkled against the sunlight, an odd choice for a hunter, but apparently one this guy had preferred. His choice of music was apparently the same, hyper, fun, not exactly Aelor's cup of tea. But since it was the only choice on a long hyperspace flight, she played it. And it grew on her. She began rocking her head to the beat. She was on her way to the planet Deminol, the world where the man with a mechanical monocle had held her prisoner, where he had tried to rip her very essence from her soul. Captain W. Vance was in his Y-Wing in hyperspace heading toward the same destination. His mission was to learn what he could about the mysterious world. The new Senex Rebel base had recently made contact with the Juvex base, and the crew of the Logan's Run had told them about Deminol, and the experiments being done there. They had sent all the data they had collected, and the head of the Juvex base had latched onto one bit of information that could be vital. Orbiting the planet was a relay satellite used for transcoding communications before it was sent to Imperial Command. If they could get a fighter in close enough, the onboard astromech could latch onto the satellite and download some of its secrets. Doubly didn't know if he trusted R3G1, who he called Reggie, yet. He had only used Reggie in one fight, and though the droid had done well at keeping the shields up, downloading secret data would be a whole different ballgame. Regardless, Doubly would have to work with what he had. Flying with him were their only two other fighters, both Y-Wings. They were flown by Jake Fabree and Uwono Ajua. They would be covering Doubly while he docked with the satellite. The Y-Wings dropped out of hyperspace relatively close to their destination. Beyond it was a garrison of four TIE fighters orbiting the planet. Detecting the Rebel ships, they turned around to face them. "Rush down the center and break up their formation," Doubly ordered. "I am going to swing around their flank to take a couple of them out so I'm clear to dock." "Roger," the others agreed, and they shot forward at full speed. They passed the satellite and went straight at the fighters, which were roaring straight at them. Doubly swung around the side, using his extra speed to keep pace with the others. Then, quite suddenly, he dove back toward them. Doubly and Iwana poured their fire into the TIEs on the left, taking out one and severely damaging a second. The other two peppered Jake with hits, taking down his shields.
"Do you need to jump out?" Doubly asked.
"Nah, I've got one more pass in me," Jake said.
"All right then," Doubly said, spotting four more TIEs on their way. "You two break left. I'll break right as though I am escaping. You draw them away from the satellite and I'll make my way to it."
"Roger," they said, and the ships broke off in different directions. One of the TIEs began to go at Doubly. Doubly veered off as if leaving the area, and the TIE fighter turned its attention on the other Y-wings. Doubly used his extra speed to get to the satellite quickly, then came to a sudden stop beneath it, and Reggie plugged in. Just then, another ship appeared out of hyperspace, a glittering, gaudy thing that stood out against the blackness of space. It didn't seem to belong. Doubly stared at it, not certain what to do. Then a hailing signal came from the ship, and Doubly opened up communication.
"Hello? Who?"
"I need you three to clear a path for me," came the voice. Doubly thought for a moment, recognizing the voice.
"Sundown?" he asked.
"Yeah. I don't know why you're all here, but I need you to clear the way so I can get down to the planet." The other ships were crossing paths with the fighters now. They took out another one, but Jake was taking severe damage, and Iwana's shields were down. "We can't cover you much longer," Jake scolded.
"Mission's changed," Doubly said. "Lead the fighters away, then jump into hyperspace before they can hit you."
"Who's that?" Iwana asked.
"Doesn't matter right now. Get these fighters out of our way and get back to base."
"Roger," they said. Reggie whistled a warning. Doubly asked what it was, and a scan of the planet's surface appeared on his dashboard. TIE Strikers and ground forces were waiting in ambush. It was a trap, as though they knew something would be trying to land.
"I don't think this is a good idea, Sundown," Doubly said.
"It's too long a story to explain," Aelor said.
"No, I mean they're going to kill you. Let them try. I mean they're waiting for you down there."
He then told her where to focus her scan. Aelor was quiet for a moment. But then she responded with determination.
"I've got a job to do." "This sounds personal," Doubly said.
The reinforcements were getting close now. "Thank you for clearing a path, Vance," Aelor said. "You can go back to base now." With all the information downloaded, Doubly detached from the satellite. He wasn't sure what to say. It didn't sound like anything would talk Aelor out of her course of action. Then Reggie chimed in again. Words and information flashed across the dashboard. Skimming through it, Doubly asked,
"Did something happen to you down there?"
There was a pause. Then from Aelor's comm, "You want to get back to base before the fighters get in range."
"We just downloaded some of the information," Doubly said as he piloted away from the enemy fighters. "What you were looking for isn't even down there anymore. But I know where to find it."
"Where?" Aelor asked almost immediately.
"I'm sending coordinates to you now." "I will go with you, but you need to trust me."
Aelor looked at the coordinates with some surprise.
"Hoth?" "There's less of an Imperial presence since the evacuation," he said. "Less than here, anyway. But we have to go now. There is no sense in you dying here when your answers are there."
An agonizing silence followed. The fighters were almost in range. Doubly powered up the hyperspace engine, about to leave. Then Aelor responded, "I'll go with you, but this better lead to some answers." Both ships launched into hyperspace, following the lead on what Reggie had downloaded, a project called Lifeseed. This has been an RPG Storytime presentation of Age of Rebellion. Join us next week to hear what happens next. If you'd like to see a visualization of this episode, check out our YouTube channel. The link is in the description. If you'd like to see other things written by the author of this show, you can also find that in the description. Happy gaming, everybody!